the close of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity this year, Pope Benedict spoke of the first disciples who encountered Jesus after the resurrection and were sent out to be witnesses to the victory of life over death, good over evil, and hope over darkness and despair.
Gli undici spenderanno tutta la vita per annunciare la buona notizia.
In his words at Vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, where members of all Rome's Christian communities gather for the closing of the Week of Prayer, Pope Benedict also spoke of this year's centenary of the 1910 Edinburgh Missionary Conference, describing it as a crucial event in the birth of the modern ecumenical movement.
Nella capitale scozzese si incontrarono oltre 1,000 missionari appartenenti a diversi rami del protestantismo e dell'anglicanismo.
Recalling how over 1,000 Protestant and Anglican missionaries came together to reflect on the urgency of achieving unity in order to be credible witnesses to the gospel, Pope Benedict said the intuition of those courageous precursors is still very timely. In our world marked by religious indifference and even a growing aversion to the Christian faith, he said it's necessary to discover a new and intense method of evangelization and offer a common witness in the face of the complex challenges of our times.
It's hard to witness the life we have in Christ, who unites all things, when we are actually divided.
Canon David Richardson is director of the Anglican Centre here in Rome, set up in the wake of the Second Vatican Council to promote friendship and understanding between Anglicans and Catholics. The centre has an important library, runs educational courses, welcomes pilgrims to Rome, and every Tuesday hosts a Eucharist and informal lunch for people of all religious backgrounds or none.
It's a very tiny chapel. The Chapel of St. Augustine.
I sat down with David to talk about this ecumenical work and about the theme for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. You are witnesses to these things.
It seems to me that it's a terrific theme because we are, in so many aspects of our life, trying to work out what it means to witness to the good news in Christ at times of real disaster and the response of the world, the Christian world, to that is about witnessing to Christ and to the things that come with the life of Christ that is ours in terms of political turmoil and immorality and economic crunches and that sort of thing. Each of those is a challenge for the church to explore what it means to be witnessing to Christ in a time when, frankly, witnessing to Christ is not the most fashionable thing to be doing.
How does this relate, then, to our Week of Prayer for Christian Unity as we mark day by day this theme and try to explore it a bit more in terms of our ecumenical relations?
I think that in terms of our ecumenical relations, the notion of witnessing unitedly, of witnessing to Christ, the one who prayed that they all may be one, is an underlining theme of the whole process. I think it's hard to witness the life we have in Christ, who unites all things, when we are actually divided. So it's a really good challenge for us to be witnessing to the one Christ as we explore what that means in our life, in the church's life, as well as in the world's.
This theme is also the focus for celebrations in Scotland throughout this year, marking the centenary of that Edinburgh Missionary Conference. Why is this so important and how is it being celebrated?
It's important because the Edinburgh Conference in 1910 was the culmination of a series of about 4 or 5 conferences that had been happening in England, New York, from the mid-19th century onwards. And they'd been fairly narrow in their theological focus. The Edinburgh Conference in 1910, for example, thinking of Anglicans, the Anglicans who'd been involved in the earlier meetings were all from a particular wing of the Church of England. In 1910, the organisers deliberately wanted to open the conference up to a much broader spectrum of Anglicanism. So it was a conference that set out to explore what it meant for the church to be at mission. It was a conference which defined mission in fairly general terms, and it didn't include intra-Christian mission. That is, you were deliberately excluded if you were setting out to steal sheep from one Christian denomination to another. And then, as it happened in other meetings, but happened with much more focus, it was realised that you can't actually be a church at mission unless you're working at it in a united sort of way. Now, that had all sorts of spillouts, and one of the spillouts, in a sense, was then the Malines conversations that took place between Anglicans and Roman Catholics in the 1920s, and probably had those not happened, the ecumenical initiatives of the Second Vatican Council may well not have happened or not have happened then. So as a sort of a springboard to a whole century of exploration about what it means to be the church, raising questions of ecclesiology, raising questions of mission, raising questions of unity, Edinburgh was decisive. And I guess this year, when they meet, that whole question of witness and how you witness that was raised then back in 1910 is going to be teased out yet still further.
So it was really perhaps the beginning of our modern ecumenical movement, we can say, as we know it today. I mean, what influence do you think it can have on our work and on your work here at the Centre?
It's hard to see what influence something like that will have on my particular work, but as you look back on Edinburgh and all the things that led to it and that flowed from it, and the fact that it was a mission conference whose product really was ecumenism and ecclesiology, I think one sees that we might try to put a stopper on the work of the Holy Spirit, but somehow that work keeps happening and we are witnesses to it.
We're marking this week of prayer for Christian unity, but in a way this Anglican Centre here in Rome has the task of encouraging and promoting Christian unity 52 weeks of the year. Tell us a little bit about the way the Centre tries to do that.
We were set up, if I can just run a bit of history, we were set up in the 1960s with a mission to the director of the Anglican Centre is the Archbishop of Canterbury, representative for the Holy See, and so in that capacity, I represent the communion to the Vatican and I try to interpret the Vatican to the Anglican communion using the office of the Archbishop of Canterbury as the conduit for the communion. It was set up to be a hospitable place where, at a time when it was recognised that the Anglican Church of the Western Churches had a particular number of particular marks of Catholicity and therefore a particular relationship with the Roman Catholic Church, it was set up to be a place where Roman Catholics could learn more about Anglicanism and what Anglicans believe and what Anglican ecclesiology is. So we have a large library, which is a resource for students, Roman Catholic students, Anglican students, of ecumenism and of ecclesiology. We also run courses, a number of courses a year, and they're all ecumenically based and they're all cross-denominational in some way or another. So late last year we ran a week-long course on Ignatian spirituality, which was run by a Jesuit. Next month we're running a course for leadership in the church. It's not a kind of training for leadership, but it is looking at what some of the ecumenical aspects of life that church leaders, Christian leaders, will need to be aware of.
You also have an open afternoon here, a mass, and an open forum here, don't you, in a way, bringing together people from all sorts of Christian denominations right across the spectrum, and non-Christians too?
We do. Once a week, on a Tuesday, we have a Eucharist at 12:45, and, I mean, it's a very tiny chapel, the chapel of St. Augustine of Canterbury, and he seats at a crush 30 people, but the people who come here, there's a small group of people who come regularly, and that group consists of Anglicans, Roman Catholics, Methodists, those who in conscience can't or in discipline can't receive communion don't, but they come to share the fellowship, they come to be fed by the word, and they come to, some of them in fact come because they've got involved in one of our courses and like what they found. We get people from quite unexpectedly from all around the world, and it's a small congregation, and they come, and then after the Eucharist we give them lunch, and which opens up communications and conversations and joys and the possibilities of ministry in all sorts of places.
So a real tiny success story, albeit far away from the new spotlight, but something that works and really makes progress in this ecumenical relations.
I think that's absolutely right. It's a tiny kind of microcosm of what the whole ecumenical movement's about, in a way, of people acknowledging, recognising their differences and recognising too that relationships aren't thereby hurt or damaged. You work out ways of building bridges and witnessing to that.
My thanks there to Canon David Richardson, director of the Anglican Centre here in Rome.